If not, you'd like to read with us. I guess we'll start reading at Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, and the 19th verse. This is speaking in the neighborhood a little over 600 years before the event that it's speaking about. But he said, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Then in Ezekiel the 36th chapter and the 26th verse, it reads almost the same thing. And this is like 7 years later that this was written. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Then if you'll turn to Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter and the 39th verse, and this again was written just a little over 600 years before the event that it's speaking about. "And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them." Now, here he was speaking about, in all of these places, the conversion of a person after they've come to know Christ. After the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, and there on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit began to come and take up its abode in a person's heart, is where they got their new heart, and where that they were a changed person. And you and I today, here he's still making it plain there in the last part of that 39th verse, "for the good of them and of their children after them." And we read this and we look around today and we see in the world that there's so few people that wants to live according to what the Bible says. They want to dedicate themselves unto something, but not what God requires of us. And as I have been listening to the news and you hearing men that's willing to give their life for something that they have been taught, but yet no indwelling of the Spirit. They're willing to lay down their life and die in hopes that when they die that they'll have something better. When God promised us that right here, that we could have it here because we could have that Spirit dwelling on the inside, to where we know that when our life comes to an end, what awaits us on the other side. But first we gotta come and have that new heart put on the inside of it. And it's impossible for a man or a woman to be able to turn over a new leaf and to change within themselves the way that God wants us to change. But when we come to you and we surrender totally unto it, and we have that conversion take place, that new heart be put on the inside, what a difference it made. You can see in the world today people that so hard-hearted. I was saying in the news where that they turn people out because that one, a man slapped another man's jaw, and he took his man and his wife and shot him, cut him up in pieces, fed him to a hog, then burnt the bones that remained, and it threw the remains of that in a pond. And you say, how hard-hearted it was for a person to be that cold as to do something like that. And you realize what's really in the heart of man. It's evil. It's nothing within us that can be good enough within ourselves in the way that we are to ever entitle us to go to heaven.
except we come and repent before God and be made that new creature in Christ Jesus. Christ, right while he was here, walking among men, he knew what was in the hearts of men. He spoke plain as all, and he was looking
right into their faces and telling them just what was in their heart. And you know, there was some that come to him with good intention. But when God, Christ there speaking to them, began to reveal what was in their heart, they went away. Like the rich young man that come. He was willing to do whatever that it took that he might be able to follow Christ and be accepted. And Christ told him to go and sell that he had, give it to the poor, then come and follow him. He wasn't willing to do that. Why? He had great riches. Was it necessary for him to do that to follow God? No. But Christ seen what was in his heart, what was more important, so to reveal it to him, what it was that was the most important to him. Christ worded it the way that it would bring it right to his attention. You and I today, a lot of times, God has to speak plain to us to get us to see what's in our heart. I've had people to tell me, oh, I'm a good person. I've never done all that bad. I've been good to people. I've paid my bills. I've donated time to people. To help people out. I want to be able to go to heaven when I die. Because I'm a good, moral person. That's not what it takes to go to heaven. It takes being born again. Why? Because Christ said, except you're born again. You and I, we can't come to the place where we can surrender our heart and life to the Lord. Until we get that new heart on the inside, when we come before God, we can think a lot of times that we're giving God our best. But when we really surrender to Him, call out unto Him and ask for forgiveness, and get to be part of that family, that new creature in Christ Jesus, we can begin to see how we can surrender far more than we ever thought possible. You know, there's people in life that think that they're doing all that they can to accomplish a task, but let something happen unexpected and they can find new strength. You know, they say if you catch somebody that's doing something or it's lifting something that's real heavy or whatever, and you startle them just a little bit at that time, their strength will increase. Just for a moment, but their strength will increase. And I can remember seeing this in the news. Been years ago, a man come up on an accident where a car had turned over, and the occupant had been towed out of it and was pinned underneath it. And he was only one man that come, and I think he had his wife with him. And he come up and seen this and grabbed a hold of the car and just lifted it up. And his wife went pulling out a person that was trapped underneath it. And after they got him out, him and several other people that saw it were not able to lift that car up the way that he did right when he had to. Why? It was because the strength was needed. And he wasn't thinking about, I'm not able to do it. He just got home and give all that he could. And probably the worst thing that happened, the Lord was telling you the strength. Why? Because that was the one trapped under. It wasn't their time to go. Well, you and I today, a lot of times people say, God asked for us. I can't give what He's asking of me. But it's because we haven't tried. We might think, oh, that's more than reasonable. For God to ask that of me. Have you tried to give Him what He's asking? He said He wasn't asking for us. That we wasn't able to. Today there's never been a time that America, that Christian people, need to get in the heart and give 110% of the God. It is today because we look all around the world and we can see where people thinks that anything is going to be accepted. But you know, God makes it plain that it's not going to be. Today we will find people calling themselves Christians and wanting to be spiritual leaders that are homosexuals, and that's against the Bible. A person that is living that kind of a life cannot be a Christian as long as they're in it. Now, God can save a person that's like that, but when he does, they can't live that way. They become chained. Just like the drug addict, when he comes to the Lord and is forgiven, he can't go on in his drug. Alcoholic won't go on drinking. Why? Because they are a new creature. A person in adultery cannot go on living in adultery. Why? Because they're a new creature. You and I, we can't live in our sin and expect to go to heaven. Christ don't save us in our sin, but he saves us from them. He gives us a new heart that will help us to be able, you know, I've heard people say, oh, I couldn't ever give up this or that in life, whatever it might be. But when they get the heart right with the Lord, alcoholic, drug addict, all kinds of addictions that people have, they can lay up there for their very instant water. It's that heart on the inside that makes us hungry for these things of sin. But when God cleans that up, our hearts are changing. When I got right with the Lord, the very thing that I love when I was in sin was the thing I hated. From the time I walked out of church that Sunday morning, I had to think before that I looked so poor to do it. I no longer want to do it. The very last place that I wanted to be before coming to the Lord was in church. And after that, every time the church door was open, that's where I wanted to be. Why? It took something different to satisfy that new man. And you and I, when we come to the Lord, we can find out just what it takes to please God. You know, that's what's wrong with the world today. We say, this is what we'll give to the Lord. You're not the one that draws the lines. God, he settles for nothing less than all of us. I can't say, well, I'll give the Lord Sunday, and after all, that's more than 10% of a week. He ought to be satisfied with that. God wants your life every day of the week. That don't mean that you can't go and work on a job, but that means even when you're on the job, your mind stays clean. If there's people telling dirty jokes, walk off. Let them know that that's not the kind of life that you've chose. If they come up and want to tell you one, tell them you don't listen to it. Take a stand for the Lord. Let the world see that you are a changed person. You know, here, listen to this again. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever. For the good of them and all their children after them. You and I, living a Christian life is not only good for us, but it's good for our children afterwards. It's good to pass it on, to teach it. And you know, you'll find if you take the Bible, that's what God told the children of Israel to do. They was to instill it into their children constantly. From the time they got up in the morning till they went to bed. They was to instill in them the things of the Lord, the precepts that God was wanting them to live by. That was what they was to teach them. Today, our land and our country, our courts have said, oh, we can't have the Ten Commandments on the school walls. We can't even have them in our courthouses. Why? Because it might affect the way that people live. I went to God, we put it out there the way that God has it there. Why? Because that was the intent of God for giving it, that it might affect the way that we
our daily life, that we might see and know just what God required of us. Why is it that man don't fear to take another person's life, that they'll kill them as if they were anything, just as if it was some animal? If because we never took the word of God down to the point that we realize that the eternal living soul, when we take that life, we're going to stand before God and give an account of it.
You'll find all the way back there in Genesis, when brothers disagreed and one was killed, he thought because nobody seen him that everything was all right. But God let him know, I see him, and his blood's crying out. You and I today, we cannot escape our sin whatsoever. We're going to have to give an account of it. And the only way to stand before God acceptable is if we have that new heart. And you know, when you talk about a person being hard-hearted, can you ever remember that being said about a person that was a Christian? No. Why? Because your heart is going to be something that can be touched. It's going to be something that will reach you. And it makes no difference what it is. There's some men working on my house this week, putting a roof on it, and only one of them could I communicate with because he could speak English. The others couldn't. But there was a young man there the second day. They wasn't expecting it to take him as long, and he didn't come, I guess, with 2 days of clothes for working out in the heat. And the second day he had a long sleeve shirt on and it dark and a little bit thicker material and working up on that roof. And all you could see it was just taking everything out of him because he was sweating so. Well, I had a shirt that a long time ago I outgrew and had been hanging in my closet. I've thought several times about taking it and giving it to somebody, but every time I end up forgetting it, and I went in there and I got that and I brought it out. I told that one that could speak English. I said, here's a shirt for you. It's light colored and it's short sleeve. It will reflect the heat you give it to me. And I said, okay. And I laid it down on the truth. It was an hour and a half or two later. He still I don't know where you got it and won't buy it. And I told him, this should be better than your shirt. I handed it to him and kept on walking. And he said, thank you. And in just a minute time, he had it all. The rest of the day, you could tell what a difference it made. Just because it was able to reflect me. You and I today, we can see somebody in need. Something as simple as giving them a shirt. That way I'll reflect the heat. What a difference it may have. That man, he may not have been able to draw back and forth. But I guarantee you, he'll remember it for some time. Well, you and I, when we see a person that's living their life in danger, they're going to destroy their soul. Why not reach out with that? Can make their life so much easier. That you can offer life unto them. Give them a changed heart. That can make them a new creature. If that will mean more than giving a man a light colored shirt on a knitted 97 degree day who's got to work in the sunshine. You and I today, if it was possible for me to be able to open a window or a door and let people see into hell for just 15 or 20 seconds. Let them hear the cries that's coming from that place. You wouldn't need to preach anything. All you'd have to do is say the door house to the church is open and the altar is waiting on you. And people would line it up. But you know what?
Most people believe the lie of the devil. I'm good enough. I won't go to that place. Have you ever heard somebody that lived some kind of a wicked life, and when they die, people start talking about them being in heaven? Isn't it a shame that we won't tell it like it is? If we're born again, then we'll be living a different life. You know, I heard a testimony of a man on the radio. He was in country music, and he got right with the Lord. And he said, I just felt like that it would be better off for me just go on doing what I was doing and witness to those people. So what did he do? He just kept singing country music and going around to all of the places. What happened? Something was wrong with the heart. You and I, when we get right with God, we're going to walk away from that old man, that old life. If he had a talent to sing, turn around and sing gospel. Don't keep singing the same thing and expect. You know, I forget exactly how it goes. Y'all remember. But it's a fool that keeps doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. You know, if you go to the top of a ladder and you fall off and it hurts when you hit the ground, it'd be crazy to get back up there and say, well, I'll fall off this next time and maybe it won't hurt. You know it's going to. Why? It ain't the fall that hurts. It's that sudden stop at the bottom. And you and I today, men, women, all over the world keep thinking that sin is not going to hurt. Why? Because we're living in it. We're enjoying it for a season. We think it ain't going to hurt. But when we get to the bottom, we're going to find out hell is what awaits us. Why? God cannot lie. And He said, I set before you two ways. And it's up to us to choose whether we won't lie or whether we won't die. And if we live our life with the choice that we don't want God, when it comes down time for you to die, don't expect to get the reward of living a Christian life. It's not going to happen. Why? God said, according to your word and what you've done in your life and what you're going to read, you and I, we sow out here a field of corn. When it comes we expect to get corn, and we sow soybean. We expect to get soybean. Why, that's what I put in the ground. What you sow in the day is what you're going to reap when your life is over. You and I, we don't want that. Then come to the Lord and change what we're doing. Surrender our heart and life to the Lord. Become that new creature. And then he said, for the good of them and other children after them. You and I can tell you, I've tried both, and living a Christian life is far more enjoyable than any other life. And that's why I can teach that to my children and my grandchildren. You know, you see a man or a woman that has a wood stove, what do they do when a child comes in that's not used to being around them? Most of the time they'll take them over and they'll stick their hand out close to it so they can feel the heat. And they say, hot, burn you, it'll hurt. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. But you know, most of the time, somewhere or another in life, we find out what really hot is, don't we? Whether we disobey and we end up touching something like that, or we run into something that we didn't think was hot. And I can remember working on a job, and this man was cutting some rebar in two. Well, he just had cut two or three of them off, and this man come over and picked them up, and just as he got a hold of it, he turned it loose. And that guy that is cutting it, he said, what's it hot? And that man said, no, it don't take me long to look at a piece of steel. Well, you know, that's what's wrong with the world today. We take too much time looking at sin instead of realizing it's hot.
It can destroy us. We feel just the good part of it. The lust of man is what has destroyed us. Whether it's lusted after a woman or a woman after a man or after a car, a house, our desires of the heart is the very thing that destroyed us. And rather than saying that is something that will destroy me, it's something that'll hurt, I'm not going to pick it up. Just like that man that picked up that steel. If he'd seen it there, come on, he'd realize it still had that time to cool down. You and I, we could see what was in hell. We'd say, oh, it's not good enough for me to play around with sin for one day. It could cost too much. I'm not willing for that. I want to live for the Lord. But man, it never looked into hell. We never heard the cries from it. If we had, our church houses across America would be full. The bars would have to close. You'd find
that most of our theaters in Hollywood would have to go out of business. Why? Because man would want something better. Well, God's got it for us, but we've got to be willing to pay the price of turning our back upon a life of sin. And if we will, it'll be good for us, but it'll also be good for our children. You know, my dad, he lived a fairly long life, and he paid the price. He was persecuted a lot for being a preacher. Most of his life, his own family sort of was alienated from him. They recognized him. They thought a lot of him, but they didn't want to come around because it made them feel uncomfortable because they wanted to drink. Their biggest thing was drink, drugs, fight. That was all that they was into. But you know, when they got to the place where that they wanted God, they knew where they could go. They knew one that was living for God. You and I today, the people that we know, who are they going to look to when they want to find God? Are they looking at your life and seeing Christ in you? There's all kinds of people in the world today that's a Christian because of the sacrifices that my dad made. You and I today, what kind of sacrifices are we making that people might see Christ in us? Are we living that new life? Do we truly have that new heart on the inside? Have we truly been born again and have that Spirit took up its abode in our heart? That's what Christ said to the disciples, that he was going to the Father to pray that he'd send them another comforter. And he told them to go until they was endued with power from on high. What? That comforter. That he was going to see that it come back unto them. And it did. You and I today, that's what God wants in each and every one of us. That Spirit on the inside. So when you're out there in the wind and there's no preacher around, there's no other Christian around, and the devil comes at you with something, that Spirit that's on the inside will begin to speak unto you and say, no, that's not the way to go. You know better than that. You've got an influence to maintain. There's someone that's looking at your life. Your children are expecting something out of you. Most of all, God requires something out of you. Let's each and every one make sure that the life that we live is what God would have us to be, that we might be obedient unto Him. You know, I've seen people that when they was just teenagers, they made decisions in their life that they paid for the rest of their life. And you know, there's a lot of times people come to the Lord and they think, well, I've been forgiven. Everything ought to be just like I had never sinned. Well, you know, sin carries marks and scars. And I've seen people that had been drug addicts. to where they had just about destroyed their brain. God forgive them, but He did not return unto them all the brain cells that they had destroyed. I know of people that's come to the Lord. They've been in knife fights. They've been, oh, there's a preacher in North Carolina back when he was in Cena. He said, he'd been in several fights. And he said, he's in a knife fight. And he said, when you get cut, he said, you're mad, you're angry. And he said, you see your own blood. And he said, especially with bleeding pretty good. He said, you think he's killed me. So I got to try to kill him before I die. But when he comes to the Lord, God forgive him. The scars didn't go away. They're still there. Sin carries a price. We make decisions when we're young that we might carry that scar to our grave. We might have to live a life that is uncomfortable. That is not one that we would normally choose for ourselves. But why? Because we made mistakes that can't be erased in a moment's time. So we have to bear that price, that scar, for the rest of our lives. But if we come to the Lord, oh, I'm so thankful those scars of sin upon the heart that He removes when He gives us that new heart, and He puts that new life within us. He changes us to where we can enjoy living a Christian life. You know, I talked to a man once that had been real mean, and he comes to the Lord, and he said, you don't know what a feeling it is when you walk down the street and you see a cop coming and there's no fear there. You know he's not looking for you. He said, I can't explain to you what a difference that made for you and I today. Isn't it wonderful? The difference God makes, the joy that He can bring, the peace that He brings. You can lay down right beside the police station and go to sleep and not be afraid of what's facing you when the morning comes. Why? Because you know that everything is alright. You have been drunk and done something that you didn't know what you're doing, that they might be looking for you. I knew men that lived blind. That was so bad. They would wake up on Monday morning. They didn't know what they'd done on the weekend. They didn't know who might be looking for. That's why they were scared. Why they were afraid to face the world. But when your heart's right with God, you get up on Monday morning with new strength. Why? You stay in church on Sunday, feasting of the good things of the Lord. Got that new heart restored. Just refurbished. Filled up with strength and faith. All is coming throughout the week. And it's a wonderful thing that you can get up, go singing a hymn, go off to work, happy as can be. Why? Because you know that if you die that day, it's all right between you and God. You know, there's people in the world that hate me so bad because of stands that I've had to take on the Bible, that if they seen me, and I'm not joking, I'm saying this seriously, if they seen me in the water, and I can't swim, believe me, and they see me there frailing about the ground, and they could be standing in life jackets to their waist, they'd turn and walk off. Why? Because they have no care whatsoever for me. Well, you and I today, isn't it wonderful to know that if it comes to the place that the whole world feels that way about you, if our heart's right with God, we can lift our voice and say, I know one that cares. We can start to pray and talk to Him, and we can feel the answer come by. Yes, child, I'm listening. What do you need today? I've told this so many times. I used to work on a horse farm back in Maryland.
and I was going to a battle. And I don't know how many days has a robin had sat right there in a tree. And every time when I went out of the barn, that robin would sit there singing just as pretty as could be. And every time I go out, notice that he would never sing it with his head bowed down. But he was looking right straight up into the sky. You and I, when the devil tries to make him bow down, when he's heard such a low holler, it will lift your head toward heaven. Begin to sing, begin to pray and talk to God. We'll find it just a little while. Our heart will be lifted up. There'll be joy come in where they were standing. When the temptation began to roll in, that the devil bring it away. Get her mind up on the word of God. Up on that hill. Begin to pray. And you'll find
that the devil will have to flee. Even Christ, when he was tempted, what did he do? He began to quote Scripture. And the Bible says, you know, a lot of people say, oh, Christ, you think he was really tempted? The Bible says he is tempted in all points and measures just like we are. Why? He was a human body. God on the inside. But a human body. He felt every pain like we feel. Everything. But he didn't commit sin. You and I today, through everything that comes our way, if we'll put our faith and trust in God, surrender unto the Lord, we can live a Christian life separate from this whole world. You know, Bible said, they're in the world. They're not of the world. That's the difference in a Christian and a church member or just a person walking through this life. We can be in this world but none of it, or we can be here trying to blend in, hoping that we won't bear any persecution as a Christian. But when we do that, then we're of the world, aren't we? But if we're not of this world, we're going to have to bear some persecution. We're going to have people going to laugh. There are going to be people make fun. There are going to be a little bit of everything said about you. And a lot of it won't be good. But you and I, if we stand for God, when it comes down to the end of our life, we lay it down, acceptable unto God. The words that I look forward to hearing is, Father, he's mine. Well done. Enter in. That's the words each and every one of us should long to hear. What difference does it make if my neighbor says something bad about me? They said things bad about Christ. So am I going to live so good that somebody ain't going to say something bad about me? It's impossible. You can't please everybody. So just strive to please God. That's the only one that counts. That's the judge. That's who you've got to please. When you stand before Him, be acceptable. While we get some song to sing. If you're here today, maybe you've messed your life up. Maybe you've done things that you're ashamed of, you wouldn't want anybody to know about. That's fine. You don't have to tell me a thing. Confessing to me don't do you a dime's worth of good. You know, there's people in the world that they go and they confess to some man their sin, their shortcoming, hoping that that's going to get them right. That man can't forgive you. I can say you're forgiven. That ain't worth a dime to you. Why? I'm not the one that you wronged. You sinned, you did before God. You've got to have His forgiveness. And He can forgive you. I can't. When He forgives you, you're not the same. You've been changed. You'll be a new creature. If I tell you you're forgiven, you're still the same thing as you was. You and I today, let's give our heart and life to the one that can truly make us a new creature. While we sing, not only for you, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your friends, your neighbors. You know, we don't live our life alone. Everybody that we come in contact with, they see us, they know us.
They know what we are. You know, everybody that died at the funeral, you'll hear people, and I've heard it, when there was somebody laying there that I knew was not a preacher. Yet a preacher would say some great big swelling words over that they was a good person, telling the good that they know, that they will be alright, that when they die they went to heaven. But everybody sat there, they knew the life of that person. They done had it made up in their mind whether they were right with God or not, where they were going to spend eternity. You and I today, each and every person
that we know and meet, they know whether we're a Christian or not, or whether we're just a church member, or whether we're just trying to live a good life. But you and I, a good life is not what gets us into heaven. It's whether we've been born again or not. Then when we are, then we will be that new creature, and we will live a good life. You know, according to the Bible, and I've had people to tell me this, you know, they'll say, oh, I'm pretty good. I might do some things wrong, but I'm pretty good. I'm all right. But you know, the Bible said, by their fruits you'll know them. And if we're a tree for the Lord, we're going to be bringing forth good fruit all the time. We ain't going to have one limb in there that's producing bad fruit. It's all going to be good, or none of it is. So please, each and every one of you, remember the word of the Lord. Make sure that your heart and your life is acceptable unto God. You know, a new creature means that the old one is gone. A new creature. You and I today, that's what God wants of us. Not that old man just painted over. You know, sometimes people will get an old car and they'll do body work and stuff on it, and they'll paint it up and everything, and it'll look real good. But it's still no car in it. And that's what a lot of people want to do with their lives. They want to try and smear something on the outside, but it's still that old life. But come to the Lord, and He can. He don't just rebuild that motor and put it back in an old body. But He makes you a new creature. Your likes, your dislikes, everything will change. It is totally amazing. And anybody that hadn't experienced it, the love of God, when it comes in, it takes up its abode in your heart. Oh, what a difference it makes. You know, I heard a man say that when he went home, after he got right with the Lord, said even the old dog knew there was a difference. Even the old dog, because he wasn't the same. You and I today, the whole world's going to know there's a difference. And if they can't tell there's a change, it's a good sign there isn't, isn't it? All hearts free. Anyone got a word, anything on your heart before we close? Please, each one of you. I've got to turn my hearing aids back on. Each one of you, remember the prayer request that's been made. Have prayed for the Trent that's not feeling well. Remember Daryl in prayer. Remember the lost, especially. That God would just deal with our hearts. You know, I don't know how much time we've got left, but all you got to do is listen to the radio every day, to the obituaries, and you find that people are dying every day. It ain't that the Lord's coming back for every one of us at one time. Some of us may die before. So we better make sure that our heart's right with the Lord. So please, pray for those that you know that's not a Christian, that God would just give them an opportunity, show mercy.